The gate to heaven is very narrow. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Monday, and God wants us to remember that nothing can happen to us today or this week or in our life that God and we together cannot handle. Of course, that means we have to hand our life over to God, all of it. You know, we have a temptation to say to God, well, here, God, you can have this, but you cannot have this part of my life. God wants our all, and when we hand it all over to God, then God is able to do great things. Today's scripture passage comes from John 10, verses 7 through 9. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. Well, that raises a couple questions that I want to bring to your attention today. The first is the question, do you believe in heaven? There are a lot of people who do not believe in heaven. And I have to tell you, that can make a significant difference in a person's life if they do not believe in heaven. What do I mean? Well, if you don't believe in heaven, then everything is right here, right now. All joy, all pleasure, all success, all wealth, all of that has to be achieved right here, right now. If I don't get it right here, right now, and I die, and I don't believe in heaven, then I go out of existence. If I go out of existence without having achieved those things, then my life was not as fulfilled as I wanted. So a person who does not believe in heaven has a certain urgency to go after wealth, fame, success. Sometimes they will help people, and sometimes they do not help people because they're so caught up in grabbing for it all. It's like the beer commercial I once heard. You only live life once, so grab for all the gusto the first time around. That grabbing, as we all know and probably have experienced in our life, that grabbing can cause a lot of harm, both to individuals as well as to society. Well, I'm going to presume, because you're listening to my program, Joyful Reflections, that you do believe in heaven. But I have another question for you. Do you want to go to heaven? Now, you could be smiling and saying, well, not right now. And I'll grant you that. But if you want to go to heaven, you have to develop a taste for heaven. As you've often heard me say on this program, earth is not our home. Earth is our gymnasium. Heaven is our home. And you need to develop a taste for heaven, which means you can't get too tied up to this world. This world and the world to come is often in conflict. And you can't really plant yourself too strongly in this world and just pay lip service to your desire to want to go to heaven. You have to be thinking about heaven a lot. Yes, even on a day-to-day basis. Yes, even if you're not in your senior years. Because that is all a part of developing a taste for heaven. And as you develop a taste for heaven, you find yourself praying more, reading the Bible more, helping other people more, attending church regularly. Because if you don't develop a taste for heaven, then why do you think at the last moment you'll start wanting to go to heaven? These deathbed conversions that you hear people talk about, I'm not saying they didn't occur or they don't occur. I'm just simply saying that I don't think they occur with any frequency because the direction we take in our life, the more we go in that direction, the more we will get used to that, the more it will become a habit, the more we will just become complacent with that. So all my life, I'm living my life in such a way that I don't think about heaven, I'm not developing a taste for heaven, I'm not letting Jesus be the gate for me to go to heaven. Well then, you know, why all of a sudden at the last moment I'm going to do an about face, I'm going to do a 180 degree turn and start pining for heaven? I just don't think it happens. Well, here's my next question for you. What do you think it takes to get to heaven? Now, you're probably aware of the fact that there's a big debate among Christians about how this question is answered. What does it take to get to heaven? Now, some people say it only takes faith. Faith alone saves. Martin Luther, when he started the Reformation, that was very much his mentality as he reflected on what Paul talked about in his letter to the Romans. Unfortunately, some people who say faith alone saves rules out the fact that you have to live your life in such a way that manifests your faith. Catholics believe that it takes faith and the corresponding activity that flows from faith for us to be saved. We're all redeemed. We're all redeemed by the precious death and resurrection of Jesus. We're saved to the extent that we conform our lives to that. Paul says in Romans 12, don't conform yourself to this world, but conform yourself to Christ. So what does it take to get to heaven? I think all Christians would believe that it begins with Jesus. And that's why I used the scripture quote today in today's program. Let me repeat that to you since it's a short one. Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. So as we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have a deep faith in Jesus as our Messiah, our Savior, and as we have a life that conforms to that, the way we talk, the way we act, the way we dress, the programs we watch, the way we forgive, the way we love, the way we invest our money, the way we share our money, all of that orientates us towards Jesus, whom we want to imitate. And certainly then we, as we get to that moment in our life, well, when we are going to be called home by God, we're going to pass through Jesus, who is the gate. All Christians, genuine bona fide Christians, believe that Jesus is the gate through which we pass to get to heaven. Now, I have to ask you a question. It's a very personal question. What's your relationship with Jesus? Do you feel you have a good relationship with Jesus? Is Jesus a person for you, or is Jesus just a name? Is Jesus somebody you keep at an arm's distance, or is Jesus somebody who walked with you, somebody that you carry in your heart? That becomes very, very crucial. Some people do not have a close personal relationship with Jesus. And if you're going to be a genuine follower of Jesus, if you want to spend all eternity with Jesus in heaven, you have to develop that personal relationship now. And it has to be manifested, this relationship, this personal relationship you have with Jesus, you have to manifest that in your life. Your spouse has to see the difference it makes in your life. Your children have to see the difference it makes in your life. Your friends, your co-workers, the neighbors. You know, if people have to ask us if we're Christian, then we're probably not. I'm not saying we have to go around and you know, stand on our soapbox at the corner of the street and proclaim Jesus to people. If that's your calling, fine. But more importantly, we have to manifest it on a day-to-day basis, often in a very, very quiet way, but in a way that's very obvious that we are both redeemed by Jesus' death and resurrection, and we're saved because more and more, well, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So to the extent that we imitate Christ, and it becomes very, very obvious to people, then we can answer the questions that I put to you today in today's program. I do believe in heaven. And yes, I want to go to heaven. And I will be ready whenever I'm called. And we've been warned by Scripture, and we've had plenty of examples of this, I'm sure, in our own lives, where people were very healthy and they died suddenly. Automobile accident, another type of accident, an act of violence, a heart attack. You know, they may have an aneurysm that exploded, and within seconds, they were dead. So as we more and more allow Jesus be the gate through which we pass, then we begin this whole process of passing even now. You are what you think about all day long. And to the extent that you think about Jesus as your Savior, as the person you want to please, as the person you want to imitate, as the person you want to make real for other people, so that you can be Jesus with skin on for other people, then your life really is being prepared for heaven. So no matter when God calls you, you'll be ready. In fact, you'll not only be ready, you'll be eager. Well, our prayer partners today are people with prostate cancer. You know, there are a lot of people with prostate cancer, a lot of men. Most of the time, prostate cancer is a very slow-growing cancer. Other times, it can be very, very aggressive. And we want to pray for them. We want to ask God to bless them. Today's food for thought, which is a very important concept for all of us to learn, is offered to us by D. John Hall. He writes, God's problem is not that God is not able to do certain things. God's problem is that God loves. Love complicates the life of God as it complicates every life. And that's important for us to realize, because then, you know, we understand why sometimes, since God gives us free will, God's will is temporarily frustrated by evil people. Today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. My father, a grave digger, was told to prepare for a funeral. But on the day of the service, it was discovered that he had dug up the wrong plot. Luckily for him, the deceased daughter was very understanding. She lamented, "Poor Dad, he's always complained he could not find a parking place." True story submitted by Emily Wilmot. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me know if you want me to pray over your prayer attentions or you want my newsletter. You can send me some support to keep my hospital for the very poor in Oaxaca, Mexico open. You can make a check to Tash, T-A-S-H, Inc. Send it to me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Visit my website at fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee.